Tonight's debate on the Fox Business Network will showcase the GOP field once again, and that makes our next guest a little nervous and a lot hopeful. Christine Todd Whitman served as governor of New Jersey from 1994 to 2001 and as EPA administrator under George W. Bush from 01 to 03. She's now president of the Whitman Strategy Group, and she thinks the GOP is missing a chance to own a whole lot of issues with voters, from race to climate change.
Well, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed on a couple of levels, actually many levels, one of which is that you got to remember the environment is a Republican issue. The first land set aside for public use was under Abraham Lincoln and Yosemite, and it was we know what Teddy Roosevelt did with national parks. Of course, it was Richard Nixon who established the Environmental Protection Agency. So in the past, this has been a party, our party has been one that has embraced good, sensible environmental policy that has allowed the economy to grow while making lives healthier and better, the quality of life healthier and better for our citizens. And as for climate change, you can argue over how much of an impact human behavior is having. You've got to acknowledge that it's having an impact. You've got to acknowledge that the climate is changing. And right now, if in a heavy rain, Miami, the sewers, the storm sewers back up and the streets flood right now because the sea level is rising. I mean, it's quantifiable. You can see it happening. Are we going to be all flooded out tomorrow? No, we're not. But it's happening. It's occurring. And what I would love to see is some forward thinking by our candidates looking for the positive ways to embrace this and stop making every issue a partisan political issue.
By doing this, have GOP candidates just given an important issue to the Democrats?
Well, if you look at the polls where the average American is saying, you know, something's going on here and we want to see some steps taken. Better than 50% of the American people believe this. There are so many different ways to talk about how we address these issues in a positive way that right now we're polarizing everyone so much that you can't even begin to have the discussion of, is this an issue? Because we've assumed that the solutions are some of what the most extreme on the left would say they are, which, you know, close down everything. Don't have another coal-fired power plant. You can't have any more gas. You don't want nuclear, heaven forbid. Well, we all know you're not right now going to be able to meet our energy needs solely with renewables. We may get there one day, but in the interim, we have to have a transitional power, and we'd want it as clean as possible.
We just had a really interesting discussion with Theodore Johnson, an African-American writer and political commentator who describes himself as a Republican, who says that there is an opportunity within the Republican Party to pull socially conservative African-Americans out of the Democratic column if there was a conscious and responsible discussion of race. He said that Ben Carson, in theory, could represent that but has kind of failed him. He mentioned Kasich, yep, who's your candidate.
Right.
First of all, do you think that divide exists in the African-American community and that a white candidate, as Theodore Johnson seemed to suggest, like Kasich, could take advantage of that, even though Kasich's poll numbers are pretty low right now?
Well, what's interesting is my first job down in Washington – well, my second job, I guess. First one was Office of Economic Opportunity, but the second one was running a program that I designed called the Listening Program, and it was to go out and to talk to groups of blacks, youth, and senior citizens about whether or not they were a part of a political party, whether they thought the political process could help them. And the more I listened to the black Americans talk, the more I said, you're Republicans. I mean, the kind of entrepreneurship, the what you want for families, that's what everybody wants. And we should be able to appeal to them. I don't get this idea that don't talk to the black population because they'll never vote for you. I certainly went out of my way to talk to them when I was running for governor.
Let's dig into that experience. You designed a program called the Listening Program.
Mm-hmm.
You listened to African-Americans and
right,
you heard them.
Right.
Did they hear you?
I wasn't trying to have them hear me. I was trying to listen and to tease out. And then who didn't hear me was the party, because I was working for the Republican National Committee at the time, and I went back to them and presented of my findings and saying, we have a huge opportunity here. And I don't know, I've never seen the play Avenue Q, but I've heard the song over and over again. We're all a little bit racist. And the gist of it, from what I gather, is, look, we all have prejudices. And we'll look at somebody, and if they have pants down below their bottom, if they have long hair, or if we have all different ways that we judge people, we make snap decisions about them. If we recognize that in ourselves, then we can recognize, you know, that's wrong. We got to look a little bit further and we can get over it. But if you can't talk about it, you can't acknowledge it or you're drawing these hard lines, it's pretty difficult to have the right conversation.
So listening is the kind of ventilation system for a party to keep it healthy and able to attract new voters.
I think so. Especially listening to the non-traditional groups too, the ones you want. I mean, let's face it, women, better than 50% of the population. We are aging. We need to listen to the people. If you're about winning political elections, if you're about winning elections, then you want to – where is the biggest base? Unfortunately, right now what we're seeing is we've so politicized every issue that the only people that are voting are the most extreme partisans.
So you should run.
My party wouldn't have me in the door.
Really?
No. I'm too far out there as far as they're concerned. I'm pro-life and I do believe in – I mean pro-choice. Well, I'm pro-life because I believe in life. I'm not anti-life. I'm just pro-woman's right to make decisions on her own body. And I also believe that the climate is changing and that humans are having an impact on that. And there are things we can do that are very positive from an economic point of view that can help address those issues and still have us be a thriving economy as a nation.
Christine Todd Whitman, former governor of New Jersey from 1994 to 2001 and EPA administrator under President George W. Bush from 01 to 03. She's now president of the Whitman Strategy Group. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.
Listening, that's the key to better politics in the United States. We asked you, of all the folks you know, who do you wish you would have listened to more and why? Anoka, Minnesota, myself, which sounds really self-centered, but in hindsight, if I had worried more about what I thought instead of what other people wanted or expected, my life would have been far less troubled.
James from Lafayette, Indiana. My father. As a child, I just wanted him to be more of what I wanted him to be. As an adult, I began to understand how his past shaped him. He was a man of more wisdom than I thought, but didn't understand that until after he passed. Instead of glaring at his flaws, I should have gleaned from his experience.
Hi, my name is Joe. I'm calling from Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and I wish I had learned to listen to my parents. Being the last of three children, our relationship was tough, but they always guided me well, and I often regret the past decisions I made in spite of them.
We're listening. Tell us what you think at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.